king requests your presence.
Why have I been brought here?
Our kingdom, our very existence, is threatened by the Dark One.
There is to be a fountain of blood in your days ahead. It is your destiny, chosen one.
Chosen to do what?
You shall change all our future.
You shall fight like the God of War himself. You have been brought here, as the prophecy has decreed.
The Chosen One!
Our journey has just begun.
Perhaps you prefer a larger blade.
You gotta be kidding me. Easy boy. You all better get the hell out of here.
May the gods shine upon you and bring you home victorious.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Distant of Random Crap podcast. I'm your host, Lee Sands, aka Wild Wild Ranger. And today I'm joined by
Adam, also known as Sattercraft.
And Jamie,
aka Jay Holler. Right? Yeah, good. And today we've just sat down and watched, because we're kind of waiting on Matty to wake up. He's saying he just woke up. In the Name of the King, Two Worlds, directed by Uwe Boll, and starring Dolph Lundgren, E-Man. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Basically, Dolph Lundgren in this very ropey medieval time travel movie involving ninjas, I guess, and cannibals, and a dragon.
Except they're not cannibals.
And dragons. And I'm pretty sure an evil king played by the blonde guy from Scary Movie, who has the baby penis. Can't remember how he dies in that film. The in the closet black guy died when someone sucked a giant dildo through a glory hole into his brain.
Oh, right, that one.
Yeah.
The black guy. The one who went out with the Virginia Hall.
Yeah, whose brother was Smokey. In the film.
Oh, he was in it, okay.
Yeah, he was in the film. Yeah, the drug guy. But anywho, he also played the Seraph who got brutally murdered by Jason in Freddy vs. Jason. So I'm just having a quick cup of tea, folks, my throat. So yeah, it's a nice Friday morning. Sorry, correction, it's just gone 12, it's a nice Friday afternoon.
It's even better now the film's ended.
Yeah, we've got it sort of playing this background, but... Anywho, so, who wants to describe this plot? In the style of an Abridged episode...
Wait, what was the actor's name again?
Dolph Lundgren.
Okay.
He's He-Man in the Masters of the Universe live-action movie.
Basically, the premise of this is Dolph Lundgren gets drunk and somehow ends up in a film that makes no sense.
Right, let's quickly discard the plot, folks, because the plot I think I could tell within 10 minutes flat if someone wants to time me.
10 minutes?
Less than that, but alright. Basically starts off, Dolph Lundgren lives in Vancouver and he runs a karate dojo. And also on this day, it's the anniversary of when a load of his old Vietnam buddies died. So he has a shot of some really strong whiskey, which he marks with a little felt tip type thing to show how it's gone down, like every 2 centimetres or some bullshit.
I guess it's do like every year he drinks a little bit.
Yeah.
He did drink a lot, I mean, God.
Yeah. I'd like to point out, he poured, like Cook's pointed out, he poured some and then he poured some more.
Yeah, I don't think that extra bit was in the script. I reckon he was just like,
I don't think
I need to be more drunk for this film.
I don't think half this movie's in the script. So then he goes back upstairs because he's running back, and then all of a sudden, ninjas! Or hooded Assassin's Creed style ninjas, but all just head to toe in black. And you know, he's fighting some of them, and he pulls out a gun, shoots one, and one runs away. Then there's a sorceress. He opens a magical portal, and they go to the world of that Jason good movie.
And she dies straight away.
Yeah, gets stabbed. Nice! My one weakness! How did you know? Fuck!
Being stabbed by pointy objects.
You have to point out, this is sort of a sequel to the Jason Statham film directed by Uwe Boll, which also had Ron Perlman, called In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale. Apparently, I think these are meant to be based on a video game called Dungeon Siege, that I've never heard of. Though, I don't know if this is the plot of the game or not. But this film is called In the Name of the King, Two Worlds. Well, I'm guessing to represent the fact there are two worlds because it's time travel and the fact that it's a sequel. Yeah, like Transformers when it gets released.
I thought it was Two Worlds because it was the cannibals and the people from the kingdom, Two Worlds.
I think it's Two Worlds because it's the past and the present. Because he's from the present slash their future sort of thing, and it's time travel. So anyway, he goes to this kingdom, gets dragged there after the chick's died, kind of gets a prostitute that he just hulks, and then we meet the love interest of the doctor, and then we find about this prophecy involving cannibals, and the unholy mother.
Also, the prostitute tries to kill him.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, it's predictable quite early on. It's like, yeah, this prostitute's going to try to kill him.
Maybe it's because right now, he's not being welcomed. Everyone's like, I hate you, I don't trust you.
Well, it's because they want to turn the prophecy and they think he killed that chick who brought him out. But
also, that chick who brought him there, she pops up about twice in his dreams and then has nothing to do with this film at all.
Maybe it's funny, like, point, cool, that
they were pointless.
If it was, it's meant to be like a ghost or something, I think. But if it was like because he was horny, then she'd be topless. I'm also very shocked. This is a Uwe Boll film, and I don't see any boobie in it. You don't see a side boob sock, you see no nipple whatsoever.
Yeah, but then again, it's more to do with the girly king than him and his boobs.
Yeah, but he does sag a chick later on. With this weird imagery of like the front of the fortress opening and then a horse runs out.
Because horses and sex go together like cheese and crackers.
Anywho, so then he's been told there's this prophecy, he's got to slay this unholy, was it Holy Mother or Unholy Mother?
I think it was Unholy.
We'll go with that.
Well, you can't really tell.
He's got to kill this chick, the Unholy Mother. And so he goes off with a load of men to, you know, find her and kill her. But then all the men, but bar him and the doctor chick who he banged earlier, one survive, and then it's all going through his forest. And then he reaches the camp, he meets the Unholy Mother, and finds out he is, in fact, dun dun dun, the true king. Apparently the current king, Raven, is an alchemist, and he made basically the smallpox plague, and wiped out the original kingdom, and like only the youngest son survived from the true king, and his like most loyal disciple, some chick, used time travel to dump baby Dolph Lundgren into an orphanage in Vancouver in the future, where he grew up and went to Vietnam because he's an orphan and all that malarkey, and
he hates his life.
Yeah. Misses his friends.
I was getting drunk.
And then he has to fight a dragon, so he goes in this dark, evil forest, makes some chick, the queen in his absence, who I'm pretty sure he wants to bang as well. He's going to be all like, hey, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, hot chick, you know what I'm thinking? How you both like to serve the king. Bow-wow! I'm just saying. That pissed off Matty so much last night, didn't it? I'm just saying.
Super saying.
Anywho, so he's meant to go in this dark wood where there's loads of monsters, even though we only see one dragon, to find the catalyst. And then it turns out the catalyst is the dragon, because the dragon attacks the King Raven's fortress while King Raven's not there and kills a good chunk of the army. So the so-called cannibals then attack and take it over while Dolph Lundgren races on a horse with his new Dr. Gill friend to stop Raven, who opens the pool, go back to Dolph Lundgren's time, and then he and Dolph Lundgren duke it out in Dolph Lundgren's house. Raven armed with a blast light while Dolph Lundgren's armed with a frying pan and beating the shit out of him.
And also, you see the king, he grabs the flashlight, but it clearly shows on the camera that he's got a dagger on his side.
He's probably for
futuristic weapons.
He's probably hoping it's a lightsaber. Though how he can know what a lightsaber is beyond me.
Or maybe it's a spark, because it's from the future, it's more powerful. And look, there's a button here. If I press it, maybe something will come out of it.
He didn't press the button.
He just started whacking Dolph Lundgren with it. And then, but I do love how Dolph Lundgren whacked him several times with the frying pan. And then they moved on to kitchen knives, and then
he got drunker again.
Dolph Lundgren basically brought him up to the bathroom where he got the smallpox ray, jammed it into King Raven's mouth, and then pretty much, you know, drowned him in his bath.
That's because earlier on they did explain that water nullifies the smallpox plague.
But he got it before.
But this, the one he had, the nurse doctor, was basically like cyanide in case they got captured and they have to kill themselves rather than be eaten alive by the so-called cannibals who all have smallpox or leprosy.
What is this woman saying? She's saying, I have nowhere to sleep.
No, she's a prostitute. No, she's a prostitute. She's meant to be keeping him warm tonight. The king basically hired her for him. This is the one Adam mentions who's evil.
Yeah, she looks incredibly evil.
And she's basically confused that he doesn't want a saga. And he says, I can summon my brother for you. And he's like, no, oh God, no. I'm straight as hell. But anywho, so he basically chokes the evil king to death in his own bath. And then after he's done that, he walks back downstairs and takes another sip of beer. Well, it's Scotch.
Whiskey.
What? Scotch whiskey. It's the one he's only meant to drink like once a year. He takes another drink and then he goes, what did Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman say? Oh yeah, we will see each other again, yeah, that. And then the film ends.
Look at the doctor, she's like, bitch, please, step up.
So, yeah, in the name of the King, two worlds. That's pretty much it, wasn't it?
Well, what I want to ask is, the dragon, right, how come the dragon got all of the bad guys, but when it came to that guy and the doctor, they just went flew past them. It's like they've been stumbling around, like in the forest.
Yeah.
No death.
And the dragon found Dolph Lundgren and chased him and his girlfriend. But then the king's evil men were there, so it kind of got distracted.
It just did what was convenient to the storyline.
It's like you go to a pub with friends. And then you meet a bird you're chatting up and you know, the birds are riding you back to her place for a quickie. You kind of forget about your friends because you want to get the quickie. It's like that.
But ditch your friends for the quickie.
Well, I wouldn't just ditch them, ditch them. I'd say, yeah, guys, see that bird over there? Yeah, she wants to blow me, so I'll see you guys in the morning.
So the dragon wanted to have sex with the people.
No,
the dragon's like, hey dudes, I don't want you anymore, I'm just gonna go over here.
The dragon's prioritising, there's a bigger meal out of these 10 odd guys than there is with just Dolph Lundgren and his girlfriend. And besides, he has their scent, he can trap them later, which he does, and then attacks the small village, going, my God, what a choice of meat!
You can just smell the alcohol.
Yeah, we'll have to point this out, and I think there's some faults with this film. Now, again, this is another film a friend got me, but there's a lot of faults with this film. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention, there's a seer who gives the prophecy in this film, who I just call Mystic Meg, because she's so vague and...
But we thought she was high and he was drunk, so two people who were drunk and high.
I'm pretty sure this...
It's like, look, knife in me.
I'm pretty sure this must be a work print, because not only can we barely understand Dolph Lundgren, it's like really bad Stallone. I'm guessing it was the ADR guy's day off on the day of final production. But also, throughout this film, he's clearly drunk. And we're not talking a little bit tipsy. He is stumbling around everywhere.
Sometimes.
Slurring his words.
Sometimes it looks like he can barely stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you people think Stallone's bad in Judge Dredd with his, the dog! Man, vengeance! Well, that was actually Professor Richie Rich, but you get the idea. Dolph Lundgren's like, the cannibal, Vietnam, soul of fire, sex.
I don't completely blame him though, because you'd have to be pretty drunk to be in this film.
So you think he got blind, stinking, steaming when he signed the contract? Like, Uwe Boll was thinking, we need a star for this film, and they go to Barney to see Dolph Lundgren with a on his own, because he's just rap filming on Expendables 1, like his one scene.
Just waking up with a hangover the next morning, is going,
they just see him.
Wait, what did I do last night?
Sees the blue wafer in the name of the king, two wheels on the floor. Oh, God, no! He's just sitting in the corner after filming this stuff for Expendables 1. Uwe Boll sees him, goes, Dolph Lundgren, I love you in here, man! And he's like, So he just like keeps giving them with. It's like, you ever seen the South Park episode with the reenactments? The Civil War reenactments?
No, I've not.
Have you ever watched South Park?
Yeah.
Right, in the episode of Civil War reenactments, Carmen gets all the reenactment people so drunk for so long that they think they're reenacting the entire war. Like, they're going from town to town. Take them over, like, Carmen gets the South pissed up, we're meant to lose the battle in this reenactment, and they get them so pissed off, we're the fucking South and lose, and there's fucking balls out of there, that's every fucking witness down, fuck off, so they beat the shit out of the North side soldiers, and then, like, they said, you guys get pissed off, this is fucking great, yeah, this is a great boost. So they get pissed off and join the South, and then they go to other towns and take them over, because Carmen wants to reinstate slavery or something. And it's basically throughout, and he's doing this by continuously getting them pissed up, to the point where they are constantly hungover.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they sober up after a while because they lose all the booze. They're like, oh god, how long have we been drunk? 2 weeks. Oh dear god, we're late for work. So fucking late for work. I like to imagine that's what happened to Dolph Lundgren. Uwe Boll kept him so drunk and hungover for the entire film in Central that he literally forgot he filmed this film until he started, like, you know, having withdrawal symptoms. Like, he's in bed, he wakes up, he's got his little paper wastebasket full of vomit, and God knows what else he's been eating in that forest. You know, probably got the actress to play Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, next to him. And he's like, oh God, did I get laid? Oh, what's this parcel on my floor? Opens it and it's a blue wave, this film. He's like, oh dear God, did I eat this? I literally do not remember this film. That's my theory. He must have been that pissed up. Would you agree to that theory, or?
I reckon he was drunk, but I don't know if it was to the degree of not knowing what the hell he was doing. I think he was, like, the director's like, for a really good effect, you have to be drunk for this, because you know you're really crap at acting when you're sober.
Well, the problem is his words are so slurred and so unheard. I'd like to point out it's the name of this character he's playing in this film, Granger.
You mean like Hermione Granger?
Yeah, his name's simply Granger.
Sounds a lot like Ranger.
Yeah.
Or Danger.
Danger Man. He's Danger Man. So whip off that certain to John Superman D.
What does the name stand for? Is it Danger or Dick Head?
It's Drunk.
Drunk Man. Da na 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 na. Drunk Man. He's just moving through that vault from a cave to that music. Da na 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 na. Jack in the piercing just goes, POW! Kick! Punch!
It wouldn't work like that if
you. And then he just shakes like the dead corpse of his mate, and he's like, Drunk Man! Da na 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 na. Drunk Man!
Now we're just writing the third film.
It doesn't sound right if he's drunk. If he's in corner, imagine he's punching like,
Well, he's so drunk he can actually bite straight in some scenes. I would like to point out, there's a couple of scenes where, like, there's this one scene when him and the doctor are talking about, oh, we use antibiotics and penicillin growing from mould and on cheese.
She's like, cheese.
Yes, he's clearly either high or on drugs or getting pissed up. She's like, cheese, ha ha, cheese, ha ha ha, cheese, ha ha. And, like, they sort of fall asleep in the middle of the day. I'm guessing all they're exhausted from the sex the night before, or it was meant to be a night scene.
Yeah, because there was one point when, near the beginning, the king was just like, we'll wait till sunrise.
And it's already daybreak.
Yeah.
You go and have a kip.
But it's day, why should I sleep in the day?
Well, we left you a prostitute. Oh, I've drunk to sag at the minute.
It's like maybe they thought they could have used the filter and made it look like night and just not had the funds.
So you think this might have been a work print they gave me?
No, I think this is the finished thing.
Well, my friend basically said he got it from a mate in Amsterdam where this film got released like a month early for US. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the fifth Highlander film, the worst Highlander film, The Source, apparently got released like a year early in Russia before the alleged final edit that aired on Sci-Fi Channel.
But to be honest, when it got to the bit when the dragon was in it, it wasn't as bad as the rest of the film. It was actually...
You were good.
Yeah, it was quite well done.
It is a bit tightened up, squid-wise.
It wasn't like a Hollywood thing.
I mean, look at him, he's clearly pissed off. Look at him. Yes, isn't he? I will point out this camera keeps shaking all the time. It's like they couldn't fucking afford the tripod.
Or maybe it's because he's drunk and he's wobbling around so far. If we wobble the camera and took his wobbles, no one will notice.
The cameramen are drunk.
The boom light operator's passed out on the floor and that's why you can't hear what he's saying properly. Oh, blah, blah. What's the same? I quite like Dolph Lundgren. It's just this film doesn't do him any favours. Oh, yeah, here's the sex scene with the doctor, by the way. I just want Judge Jamie's reaction to the sex scene, or lack of. Blah, 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 or something.
Insert elevator music here.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Because we can't talk for too long on this film. Oh, 27 minutes. We got more out of this than I thought we would. Is there anything you did like about this film?
The dragon was okay.
I was going to say, you have seen the first film, haven't you? Yeah.
Okay, comparing this to the first film, this has absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever.
This is one of those sequels.
I mean, it's like, the first one, it doesn't match its name. It's just sort of like, the whole point is he's living in a village, and his people have been kidnapped by orcs.
And
so he's traveling with some dragon hunters to fight the orcs and free the people. That's it. I mean, and there's a little bit of a dragon in there. There's not even a king, I don't think. I can't remember if there was in the first film.
I can't remember. This is an awkward sex scene. Not as awkward as Bloodwayne, but...
What do you mean?
Well, Bloodwayne, it is sort of like... Could you call this a sex scene?
Because the bitch has got attitude. Because she went on top.
No, but see, the clothes... And then it cuts to this footage of, like, the gate open, the horse running out.
Are you saying that's nimbly playing the whole follicle image?
Maybe. Didn't you agree with me earlier about that?
It's not
a bit
quite
suggestive.
It's a little bit more subtle than a train going through a tunnel.
You mean, like, thrown together?
Oh, you mean where the train gets stuck in the tunnel and then it... reverses and then goes in really hard and fast and then the tunnel starts bleeding.
I've not seen that.
So Altogether is basically a cartoon reality TV show. Imagine a cartoon version of Big Brother, but they couldn't get the rights to actual cartoon characters, so they just do like Captain Hero, who's clearly Superman, or Princess Clara, who's clearly a Disney princess, etc. It's very South Park level humour. There's like a lesbian kiss in the first episode. And because Princess Clara thinks he kissed a black chick with tongue, she's automatically pregnant.
And there's that Betty Boo character who has
bats.
Weird things on her body, which is like...
She cuts herself apparently. And
yeah.
She's fat and ugly. There's Xander, who's apparently meant to be Link from Legend of Zelda. Only he's clearly in the closet. So when he realises he's gay, he gets a boyfriend, and then the boyfriend gets kidnapped. So he's like, I'm on the quest to rescue my boyfriend! And there's Ling Ling, he's basically clearly Pikachu.
Oh yeah, Ling Ling.
Ling Ling, battle, da-da-da-da-da. Japanese words!
Certainly sounds interesting.
It's worth looking. I did the movie for Matty, but the movie's shit. They made the movie straight to DVD, and apparently did all the jokes they couldn't use in the show, like Captain Hero being a necrophiliac. So throughout the movie, he's carrying a dead corpse that he says, yeah, so me dead girlfriend is going to go over here for a bit, guys. And then as they talk about their plan, you just hear him going, oh yeah, oh god, dead pussy's the best. I'm like, that joke was really unnecessary. Oh, and they meet a giant T-Rex with a giant erection.
As you do.
I think the whole point of the cartoon is awkward jokes, like...
Yeah, but there's, for some reason, they have a T-Rex show up who has a giant throbbing, unpixelated penis.
Like I said, awkwardness.
Better. Anyway, so, yeah, this film... You know, name the king, two words. I'm still saying it because, dear God.
Oh, look, there's a homeless gypsy girl.
The seer, yeah. She's telling the prophecy and then she gets murdered by a mysterious individual who you then see instantly is the king wearing the hoodie.
Although the first second, you pretty much... it's just like, who else could it be? It's the king.
He couldn't get away with it with his girly locks, which just flowed out of his...
He thought he was a woman, didn't he?
I did, at first. I was
this like monkey boy.
I was like, Jesus, he did look feminine the first shot, and then you could tell it was a man after a while.
So, have we talked anything about this film we can think of? Nothing else we want to talk about?
Nothing comes to mind. I may have suppressed something, but other than that...
I thought it was a good film. I mean, I thought the drunken acting was awesome. And then there was, like, sword reference. Can you remember the sword reference?
Ah, yes.
Big is always better or something?
No!
No, when he was talking about the Turkish baths.
Oh, yeah. Basically, there's this guy who's, like, head of the Royal Guard. and he's talking to, he's basically trying to get on his good side, so by saying, I take it you don't, you know, have him at company, as in female company. And he looks confused and said, oh, you're clearly one of these guys that likes the Turkish bath, but I get it. You love your men, if you know what I mean, eh? I have no problem with that.
You like to, what was it, rub your swords together?
Something like that. Cross swords. You know what would be creepy if he like leaned in towards Dolph Lundgren and said, I wouldn't mind crossing my sword with your sword. And Dolph Lundgren's like, I'm joking off of that. there's also another line in this film made me laugh when the guy dies and then Dolph Lundgren says, I swear we may have saved the world. We saved our lives and maybe the world. And then you hear Dolph Lundgren say, yeah, that was a good line. I don't think anyone double-checked the final edit of this film.
Yeah, definitely, because there's so many glitches in it. But it's not a Hollywood.
And towards the end, the fight scenes do get very patchy.
Yeah, like people running around in circles in front of the dragon. It's like, I want to die a burning, flamey death.
Do you want to talk about some of the other films you involved in? House of the Dead, which is set on an island. In Name of the King 1, The Deceased Tale. Alone in the Dark 1 and 2.
Alone in the Dark, I've seen the first one. And to be honest, I hadn't played the game when I was little. So
it has nothing to do with the game.
So I didn't have anything to compare it with. I actually didn't not like that film.
Apparently,
it's better than what people say.
Apparently, he made the film because they were planning to make a new game, and they basically gave him like the demo for a new game. So he based the film on the demo and what he knew the end boss was going to be. But then the game company scrapped that game and made that god awful one on like the Wii and Xbox 360. You know the one on the Xbox where you have to pause it.
Yeah, I played the demo for it. He opens up his jacket and he's got all the things in his pocket.
Yeah, and the level, the taxi cab. Apparently, you go through the window and your car just crashes. You're meant to go through that window, pause the game, and give the game time to load the next part of the level. I'm just going to let that sink in.
So you have to pause it yourself?
So the game can actually load the platform your car lands on. Otherwise, if you don't, it doesn't load the platform and your car just crashes. That's like playing Super Mario Kart, and when you go over a bridge, after using one of those woohoo, vroom things, you then have to pause it so the next part of the track loads up.
Game testing. It's a good thing.
Non-existent in that game. So, he also did that. He also did Postal, which is pretty good. He also did Tunnelwatch, which had good reviews. Alps, which had good reviews. He made this. He also made something else, I can't remember. Last time I checked, he was making a game called Zombie Run or something. Can't remember the exact name, but the idea is the game was about you drive a giant truck for a nuclear warhead into a overpopulated zombie infested city, and then you have like 24 hours to get out of the city and to like safe distance from the warhead. And he's making a movie based on that game. But I'd point out he also did Postal, folks, which got very good reviews. I guess that's about it. Great.
Oh, right. Sorry, I was stopped listening for a minute. It was good. I liked it. It was about an 8 out of 10 or something. It was good.
Were we watching the same movie?
I liked it.
Come in later than
I liked it. I liked the detail. I liked all of the costumes. I liked the things in the background. Yeah, I know that the things, like, the action was sounds a bit cheesy and it didn't make sense in there. It's, but the background and the material science of it, I thought was awesome.
Okay, folks.
Maybe 2 out of 10.
Which would you rather watch, this again or Dragon Crusaders?
Which one is that one?
You don't watch
Dragon Crusaders.
You'd rather watch that than this. Okay, that's saying something. I give this a Maryland chicken fillet burger. Enough said.
You'd rather have food poisoning than watch this.
I don't
know. No, I'm saying.
Oh, no, this is food poisoning.
Yeah, this is as bad as Maryland. That's what I'm saying.
Some people like Maryland. Well, I've never been there, but Gary would be thinking you'd think
well,
that's good.
You mean Gary never actually eats at Maryland? He just says, talks about it. He likes to troll people.
And he likes the rap. The rap, the Maryland rap.
Is that like a rap as in tortilla bread, or is it like a chicken, want to eat a Maryland, yo?
Yep. Maryland, wicked, east side.
Bitches.
East side, there's not... East side.
It's like, the allergy's always like, west side is best.
Side.
Stuff, isn't it?
So you got east side.
It's the same, so I quite like Dolph Lundgren, and I gotta imagine, this had to have been literally right after Expendables. He kind of needed more money. I don't recall him doing much film-wise lately, but I guess his career could be worse. Could be better, but it could be worse. If anything, this proves he's way too old to play He-Man in the next live-action movie. Because, dear God, look at the wrinkles on his face in that close-up. Either that or he's had a facelift. Honestly, it looks like leather.
What does he mean his face?
Yeah, it looks like really tight.
I'm sorry, but that's a prejudice against his face. It's just like, you're ugly, but I don't want to say you're ugly, so I'm just going to say your face is made out of leather.
It does look like he's had a bad facelift, doesn't it, Cooks?
I think it's just
the face looks really tight.
Age and sun. So that's what it does to you. Sun makes your face all leathery.
I wouldn't say looks. I don't know what age he is, but I wouldn't say looks bad for his age.
Yeah.
He's 50.
High five.
Yeah.
he looks sober in this one scene we're currently seeing him in, folks. He does actually look sober.
But that's too mute.
Well, he isn't all over the place. He just looks a little bit hungover.
This is a harsh scene. Look at it. I didn't tell you one your secret.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and review, folks, on the scene with the prince murdering the sidekick chick. I didn't tell you your plan. Yeah, well, just to be on the safe side, stab! And that's the end of the film. Good night, folks.
Night, everybody.
We'll be deploying at over 70,000 feet. The suits will supply us with oxygen and maintain our body temperature. Air is almost non-existent at this altitude, and the negative pressure would literally boil your blood.
I'm scared, Sentient.
I'm scared too, friend.
Distance to target, 11,000 meters.
All right then, here we go, Nathaniel. Ready? Jump.
The wait is finally over.
Leviathan City exists at over 35,000 feet under the ocean.
Tell me what is hidden here, Evangeline. The pieces are in place.
It is the sanctuary for a group of immortals that have existed there for the last 1,000 years.
I regret that I have kept certain aspects of our mortal existence secret.
And soon, that which is hidden...
That is, until one group decided to leave Paradise and live amongst humanity.
Will now be revealed.
It's now or never.
And one secret.
Black Door is the only thing that stands in the way of the genocide of the human race.
Will ignite a war. That will span the globe.
What are those things?
Black Door knows we're in Tibet.
Oh God, you didn't.
This is Evangeline.
And not everyone.
Please, Talia.
We'll get out alive.
I'm so sorry, McCallan.
Fire again. Fire everything.
I have wanted to do this for over a millennia.
Why would Evangeline want an army?
I fear something very sinister is hovering around Leviathan.
It's time to get ready for war.
On May 26th, Chapter 25, the season finale of the Leviathan Chronicles will drop. Go to iTunes or www.leviathanchronicles.com to listen to current episodes and get ready for the biggest chapter in the Leviathan saga.
I want to live.